Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, most of us remember the story of Jonah from our Sunday school days, don't we? God calls Jonah to preach a message of repentance to the city of Nineveh. Jonah promptly declines God's call. And on a boat headed in the opposite direction, Jonah finds himself as the cause of a terrible storm that is about to take the life of all on board. Jonah responsible for the upcoming deaths of his fellow shipmates. So throwing himself then into the sea, Jonah is promptly swallowed by a big fish. Those are the Hebrew words, by the way. Sorry, you whale fans out there. 3 days later, Jonah then is spit out of the big fish's mouth and onto dry ground. End of story then, right? Well, wrong. Very wrong. For the book of Jonah has not been included in God's word throughout the centuries because of a harrowing tale of one prophet trying to avoid God's hand in his life and being swallowed by a fish. Rather, this prophet's book is included in the Word of God because it is really all about God's great love for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. Jonah's God-given destination was the capital city of the great kingdom of Assyria. Now, these Assyrians were not good, godly people. They were masters of torment on those they were able to capture and rule over. Assyrians were among the first to use impaling as an official means of torturing and killing their enemies. Viewing this form of death as an art, the Assyrians delighted in causing as much pain and suffering as they could. They cared nothing for their enemies. Centuries later, the Romans would further this use of impaling and modify it into the form we know as crucifixion. Long exposure to pain, miserable conditions, and finally death were the results of this gruesome method of destruction. Like the Romans, the Ninevites reveled in their earthly ways. Yahweh, God's commands to the Jewish people were of no concern for them in their lives. And being Gentiles, they were viewed by Jonah and the rest of his brethren as those far outside of God's promises. And considering Assyria's rap sheet, it came as no surprise that Jonah would want nothing to do with them. He actually feared them and wanted to stay away. Good riddance. I'll take someone else. Remarkably, it was God who felt differently. The only true and perfectly just being in all the universe, God Himself, wanted a warning sent to these wicked people in Nineveh. Now, He did truly have their destruction in mind for their sin, but not before graciously providing a caution to them, a chance to repent. Jonah did finally arrive in Nineveh, and he journeyed then into the city, preaching the message of repentance. He had 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now those words, and whatever else Jonah may have preached along the way, actually broke the hard hearts of the Ninevites. These people who loved revelry in sin and causing torment on others actually heeded Jonah's word. And God used those words to bring these Ninevites to true repentance. That is utterly shocking and amazing that such a thing could even happen. These men and women, encouraged by their king of all people and their heathen lifestyles, became truly troubled by their sin. And do we here really know what that feels like? Have you ever been panicked by a sin that you have committed against God? Our Lutheran confessions call this feeling contrition. And it describes this feeling in this way. Contrition is the true terror of conscience, which feels that God is angry with sin and grieves that it has sinned. Such a feeling of fear, of dread, is the first part of this repentance. The Ninevites were not going through the motions. They were not patronizing Jonah, nor were they simply telling God what he wanted to hear so that he would leave them alone. They actually believed Jonah's word from God. They repented. They had a true change of hearts. Now, Jesus preached that same message of repentance, as did the baptizer. But we hardly, if ever, get hung up on those words of Jesus, repent. But Jesus was serious in his approach to the people, eternally, deathly serious. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus, that man of Nazareth, baptized by John, announced that the time had been fulfilled. And what time is he talking about? Well, it's that time that the prophets had spent prophesying throughout the Old Testament, pointing ahead to the coming Messiah. And all that time of prophecy found its one fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he was, standing in their midst, the Messiah, promised long of old, right in front of their faces, like you and me here today. What a jolt that must have been to these people to hear those words from Jesus and to believe in them. And many people did believe his words that this Jesus from Nazareth standing before them was the Messiah, was the long-promised Christ, even though they could not yet understand what all that would mean. And Jesus' presence in their midst means there must be a change. There must be repentance. Contrition comes first. The law does its job to condemn you where you sit or stand. It leaves you broken. It leaves you shattered completely and utterly. Lex semper accusat. The law always accuses. The law's job is to frighten us of ourselves so that we run away from ourselves. Because sin has corrupted us so fully that there is nothing good in us and we are not even worth saving. None of us are good. Not a one. Terrorized, frightened by our own consciences, realizing that there is no hope and no life within us, we confess that truth. and we confess our sins. Then, and only then, are we made ready for the second part of repentance, faith in Christ. Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, stands in our midst. He has come to save his people from their sin. In his conception and his birth, Jesus has joined our human race. In his baptism, Jesus has joined our damning sin. In his life, he takes our place, literally, before God, being the perfect man for the sake of all mankind, and perfectly obeying the Father in every thought, word, and deed, every second of every day of his life. He is suited to be the only perfect lamb worthy to be sacrificed for the sin of every man, woman, and child. God's Word and his blessed sacraments continually reveal these truths to us, strengthening our love for this good and gracious God, and firming up our trust in him for salvation. For God shows us over and over again his astounding love for us, that love that we don't deserve. Just like the Ninevites did not deserve God's call to repentance. And they did repent, and God did spare them from his judgment. Just as when we repent, God hears us and spares us from eternal wrath because of Christ, because of our Savior. So working that faith in us through the gospel of Jesus, as given in those means of grace, word, and sacrament, God then raises us to a new life. He restores our soul, mends the pieces of who we are. He heals us. He forgives us. And it is he alone who has changed us. We are no longer untouched by the gospel. We are no longer unchanged by Jesus. As his bride, the church, as his holy people, sin now is to repulse us. We are to flee from it and avoid it at every turn. Do not welcome it into your lives. Do not make excuses for it in your life. Instead, confess it and have it forgiven, removed in Jesus. We know that we are not perfect, and that we will never be perfect in this earthly life, for sin still has its grasp on our human nature, clinging to us until it comes face to face with that point of death, the same death that Christ has defeated forever by his own death upon the cross. There, sin will be removed from us completely. Their sin will be left behind, losing its hold on us forever there at our death. And that death that we deserve for our sin, Jesus has died for us. Knowing this then, these great gospel truths, that the law of God drives us to contrition over sin, and that the gospel of Jesus brings us healing from our sin, we then live daily lives of repentance with hearts truly changed by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Amen.